Man number 9. No matter what the ailment or ailments appear to be, the method of treatment, in other words, applying the system, is identical for every kind of ailment as compared to any other ailment. The only difference is in the tactics. The strategy is the same. The strategy is that we must recognize and claim and live the qualities of God, and especially in our thoughts. And of course, our speech and action must follow our thoughts. If our thoughts are correct, which really means letting the thoughts of God be our consciousness. By tactics, it is meant that the details or the focus is adjusted to the particular ailment, being careful to realize that the symptom may be a decoy and the real ailment could be a larger picture than what we are distracted to think that it is. The favorite trick of evil is to mock truth and to disunify its object. Now, of course, when I say evil, we're really talking about mortal mind. We're talking about a false view of the real, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. So we're talking about fake news as opposed to truth. So if it is successful, the suggestion of mortal mind is successful in distracting us away from the real problem, then it has done its duty, just like the corrupt media or a certain three-letter agency which has a disinformation program in effect and has had for some probably 7 decades. In other words, the goal of a so-called mortal mind is to distract from the truth in any way that it can. So it may try to amplify a small problem to cover up the big problem, or let's say the real object of the distraction. Mary Baker Eddy states that a problem will migrate to the weakest part of the body, and in effect, that is not the real problem, and the associated problem to the symptom may not be the problem at all. It is only a distraction because that is the least resistance for it to travel. It's like water. If you have a leak in your roof, the water may be dripping down through the ceiling in one area, when in fact the real leak in the roof is in a different area, and it just travels around to the least resistance until it finds an escape at a lower level. This is one good reason why it's very important to review the facts about God at the very beginning. If one starts at the beginning of the textbook and reads the 3 introductory quotes, that will get one started on the correct path. The first one is a quote from John, which is really Jesus talking, and it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second one is by Shakespeare, which says, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. If we connect those two quotes, Mary Baker Eddy is really conveying to us that we have to start off knowing what the truth is, and we have to make sure that that is what permeates our thought, because our thought migrates to our experience. And then, of course, the third quote is about being blessed. And we will be blessed if we start with the truth, we let that permeate our thought, speech, and action, which then becomes our experience, and then we have the blessing. And Mary Baker Eddy says in that third quote that, thou hast heard my prayer. Well, I believe what she really means there is that we have gone to the principle of God and realize what those seven synonymous terms mean, which is principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And I believe what she really means is that we are getting a better understanding of what God is, instead of thou hast heard our prayer. For she really indicates that God is all-knowing, so trying to ask God to do something is futile, other than the fact that it is recognizing that there is a power greater than a so-called mortal mind, which is trying to influence us every moment. And as a matter of fact, it's not a greater power, it's the only power. For God is omnipotent, which means that it's one, only, and all. So, therefore, a so-called mortal mind cannot have any power, because God, which is the substance of spirit, has all power. And, of course, mortal mind is based on a so-called matter. It is supposedly what operates the so-called material brain. Mary Baker Eddy states that it is not possible to have a real mortal mind because the real mind is immortal. So, saying the phrase mortal mind or the term mortal mind is really, as she explains, is an oxymoron because it's saying like black, white, or yes, no. There is no such thing as a yes, no. There may be two answers to a question, and it could be yes and no, but yes, no is the same as black, white, or the same as mortal mind. They are opposites and therefore are not possible to be all in one word. You could have gray as a black-white mixture, but that's not black-white. That's a different word, which describes that it's a dilution of the black and the white, so that it is a combination of those two colors together. But that's a totally different identity. If we think about man, then we have to realize that man is a generic term and really includes male, female, and neuter. And when we say male, female, and neuter, think about man having qualities that are generally attributed to the male, which is, say, courage as one quality, and the female being love or nurturing, and neuter being something that has neither a particular male or a female trait. So man really is a generic term to include all gender. In other words, it is a concept of completeness, as opposed to a specific partial set of qualities. Mary Baker Eddy indicates that if you wanted to really just designate one gender to God, it would probably be more accurate to think in terms of the female gender, because the female is more likely to be considered love than is male. It's like the natural love of a mother to its child. We are the children of God, and even Jesus was considered the Son of God. And that, of course, is a child of God. No matter what the ailment or ailments seem to be, there is always a counterfact to it, which is the truth about man, or the truth about an event, or a so-called circumstance. Mary Baker Eddy states that we need to do the analysis and find the absolute exact problem, and we must expose it and eradicate it by explaining it away with the truth, and we have to confirm the reality. So we have to clean the air out of thought, and we have to replace it with truth. So the only difference between one ailment and another is the particular idiosyncrasies that appear to be attached to whatever ailment it is that we have discovered to be the real problem. Being careful, as noted, not to be tricked into thinking of a symptom leading us to the real problem, because that can often be only a decoy, as noted. Maria Brunson has a series of seminars, which are on the website, and they are very good in learning how to utilize the divine system of metaphysics to do exactly what we're talking about here. In other words, doing the analysis, finding the error, exposing it, eradicating it, and affirming the truth. Mr. Rawson, Frederick L. Rawson, who is probably one of the best practitioners that have ever existed on utilizing and applying Christian Science, stated that one suggested way to do a treatment is to make a quick statement denying the error, such as "there is no," and then whatever the supposed name of the error is, and then immediately go into confirming what God is. One can use one or several definitions of God that Mary Baker Eddy provides us. They all mean the same thing, but their focus might be a little bit different on the particular purpose . Much like looking at a statue and having a glance from one angle, or having the statue on a pedestal that is rotating, and you're still looking at the statue but might be looking at a little bit different view of it. One example would be, suppose someone seems to have a lack of some kind of supply. It could be a supply of a buyer if one has a property to sell, or it could be a lack of a seller if one is seeking to buy a property. In that particular case, one has to understand that if one conceives of a need, then they have already developed that there is that product in consciousness. And that's the first thing to realize, and that is that everything is in thought. So if one has a need to purchase something, they have to understand that they have already defined the details on what they are looking for to purchase. In other words, supply and demand are one because they are both in mind and they are both already visualized. And Mary Baker Eddy has stated that what blesses one blesses all. So that means that everyone in the transaction must have the same kind of fulfillment, even though it may be measured or characterized in different ways. If one seems to have a lack of remembering something, they can think of what Laura Sargent said when Mary Baker Eddy asked her if sometimes she forgets. And Mary Baker Eddy got this reply from Laura. She said, "Mind never forgets." So Laura was on her alert and knew exactly what was the counterfact to forgetting something. And we should do the same thing. If we don't remember something that we need to remember, we can make a statement like that. Very short, very quick. And of course, we must have the conviction, just like Mr. Rawson, when he saw a load of rocks dumped on a man by accident, covering him all up. He made the statement that there is nothing but God. And with that, the man jumped out from underneath the rocks and didn't have a scratch or any injury to himself. It was because Mr. Rawson had the conviction, he had the understanding to realize the truth does not have limitations. It is fixed and it is always true. And it is not only partly true or true some of the time, but truth is true all the time. And the first introductory quote that I mentioned about from John that says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It's free from limitation. It's free from lack of having what you feel that you need that is not visible to you or not clear in thought that you have what you need. We have a treatment on epilepsy. And among that information is how Jesus handled it with the epileptic boy. And Rawson, in his book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, under the section on applied treatment, also gives a treatment on how to heal that problem. And what we did was utilize what Mr. Rawson has provided as a proper treatment on it, and we applied the system of divine metaphysics to it. One of the beliefs of that particular situation is that there is loss of control. So one would want to make positive statements about the fact that mind is the only control. The scientific statement of being, which is authored by Mary Baker Eddy, says there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. So that certainly is a strong statement about control. God is all in all. So in other words, every control there is a control by the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. It is not a control by some absence of a proper system that is operating what we see as a body. There's nothing missing from the system of God. Principle represents system and structure, and there's nothing missing from the structure of principle which would permit the belief of epilepsy. So there's no control missing. There can't be any abnormal action, for God is omni-action. The only action that exists is the action of God, and it is in perfect control because of under the control of divine mind. It's an intelligent action because mind is omniscience, and omniscience includes intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. We are conscious of the only action being the action of God, because God is truth, and truth is consciousness. And we, as the image and likeness of God, are conscious of the truth about man, whether it's ourselves or anyone else that we might be viewing. It is our responsibility to reverse any evil that we see, no matter what it is, no matter what the name is. An accident, a stray dog. Mary Baker Eddy talks about some of these things when she asked one of her students, what do you think, what do you do when you see a person in need, a stray dog or, you know, whatever? And she said, are you a Christian Scientist? And he immediately realized what he should be doing about it or thinking about it. And he said, no, Mrs. Eddy, I'm not a Christian Scientist. So he realized he wasn't doing those things. That is our duty to do. We are supposed to pray without ceasing. Mary Baker Eddy has an entire chapter, the first chapter of Science and Health, which is on prayer. Prayer is not asking God for something, because God already knows everything. Are we going to inform the infinite mind, as she mentions, of something that we think he doesn't know, or she doesn't know, or it doesn't know? Mathematics is not a male or a female. Mathematics is a set of laws and rules, because the result is always the same if they are applied and understood correctly. That's the same with the system of divine metaphysics. She reduced metaphysics to a system so that the result would always be the same, which is healing. But they have to be understood scientifically, and they have to be applied scientifically. As a matter of fact, Einstein made a statement very much like that when he said Christian Science works when it is applied scientifically. One of his close friends, whose name was Dr. Underwood, was on the Atomic Energy Commission, and Dr. Underwood was the only one that survived the research they did, because everyone else was deceased due to radiation. And so Einstein was very, very interested in how that occurred. And his friend Dr. Underwood told him that I'm a Christian Scientist, and I applied the laws of Christian Science to this particular situation, which gave me a healing. Einstein had been interested in Christian Science, but after that occurred, He accelerated his interest, and he attended church. He went to the reading room for study, and he made some very favorable statements about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science, which are on the website if you just go to the author and click on the E for all the last names that begin with E, and click on Einstein. And you can read about his thoughts about Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. If someone has a learning problem, they can do the same thing. God is the intelligence. God is the memory. Mind doesn't forget. All things are possible with God. That's peppered throughout the Bible several different times. If we want to get results, we must be serious. Richard Strain was having a very difficult time with his life. He went to a friend who was a lifelong Christian Scientist, and he told the friend that he didn't know what to do. He was at the end of his rope. And the friend said, "Well, how much time do you spend studying?" He said, "I don't have any time to study." He says, "I've got this to do and that to do, and by the time I'm done with my daily activities, there's only like 6 hours left, and so I sleep." And he said, "Well, if you want to get serious about this, you should be spending 5 hours a day study." After contemplating his alternatives, he decided to do it. And he said by the end of the first week, his life had already started to turn around. And he was able to rearrange things so that he could sleep more, because he was able to do things in less time than he was doing them before. He was doing them based on principle and without being concerned with a time measurement. And as a result, the effect of that kind of thinking brought him completion of various projects in less time than normal. If one has a relationship problem, where there's friction in a relationship, they can be thinking about divine principle. Because divine principle, everything is harmonious, everything is in balance, and the substance of everything is love, because that is the plan and design of all existence. So they can think about the qualities of love. Mary Baker Eddy has an article on love your enemies. And she says, "Who is thine enemy? Except someone that you are thinking is an enemy." So what do? We think about Shakespeare, who said, "Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." We have to change our thought from thinking about someone being an enemy to thinking about the fact that we are a child of God, and we cannot be cluttered up with evil thoughts in our consciousness, thinking that someone else is discordant. Someone else is our problem. Because our problem is right in the mirror. What are we doing with our consciousness? Are we tending to it like an expert gardener? Are we cultivating the correct plant? Are we cultivating the correct atmosphere? I mentioned briefly that Frederick L. Rawson was one of the greatest practitioners, and also mentioned that book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. That includes 1,315 different ailments. That is an excellent reference to locate the correct counterfact on any one of those 1,315 ailments. And he has things such as relationship in there. One thought he brings out is that God's ideas cannot interfere with each other or be in conflict in any way. There can't be any friction between God's ideas. Think about love being oil, being an ointment, a lubricant, Think of all of the different individualities that are involved. We know of around 8 billion or so just on planet Earth. And so everyone is unique. And how in the world can everyone get along with each other? Well, we have to look out to the source, which is God, which is infinite, incorporeal, divine mind. If we are focusing on God, that prevents us from focusing on individuality, the uniqueness of any individual. We should certainly be appreciating the uniqueness of every individual. It is recommended if one utilizes the book that was referred to by Frederick L. Rawson, that be utilized as a springboard or a catalyst to awaken consciousness, and then utilize the system of divine metaphysics, as is described in many treatments on this website, so that one can refer to the basics of the counterfacts to the ailment, but expand by integrating them with the system of divine metaphysics. And of course, that also includes the operators, which are the Word, which means the facts about God, and the Christ, which is the interpretation or translation of whatever is coming our way that appears to be causing trouble. And Christianity, which is the function of healing. And if we apply those facts about God and interpret and translate whatever comes our way to see the real truth about the situation, which cannot be anything less than what God is. In other words, the qualities of God are the reality, and anything that tries to confront us and distract us by throwing things to be considered that are not godlike qualities, then we need to filter those out so that we are focusing only on the truth. We must realize that there is nothing that can interfere with the operation of God, which is divine principle. And there is no other item that can control divine mind, because divine mind is the only control. And there is no such thing as matter that can think on its own or talk to us or try to cause us trouble, because matter has no base. It is only a supposition of mortal mind being objectified. There can't be any problem with a heart, for heart represents love, and love is fulfillment. So if we think about the different parts of love, such as consideration and caring for others and thoughtfulness and so forth, and make sure that we're talking about it on an impersonal way, whereby everyone is benefited from the way we are conducting ourselves in expressing love, not a personal or partial or sensual way, but an impersonal spiritual way. A spiritual love is the only kind of love that lasts. Certainly a sensual love has a lifespan of like almost zero. We need to also think about one good way to think about how to solve problems is by reviewing the titles to the 26 Bible lessons which Mary Baker Eddy gave us, because they really are the clue to how to solve any problem. we were able to obtain from a friend of the Institute copies of the last ones that were done by the Bible Lesson Committee while Mary Baker Eddy was still here. They were 1909 to 1910. And we know that those are as good as one could ever study and are timeless in nature, because those are the years that Mary Baker Eddy had her thumb on the operation. So we believe those are the purest ones that have ever been published, because those are the most advanced years of Mary Baker Eddy. And these topics are timeless. That's why there's only 26 of them, repeated once a year, one for each of the 52 weeks. We don't need to be thinking about what current events are, except as they fit into the topics. Robert C. Putnam is one of the finest Bible scholars, if not the finest Bible scholar, that is in recent years. Well, I say recent, this has been 50 or 60, 70 years ago. What I mean is, after Mary Baker Eddy left visible form here, because she was obviously the number one Bible scholar, and that's accepting Jesus, of course. But the benefit of Mary Baker Eddy's and Robert C. Putnam's Bible scholar credentials are that they both had the benefit of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. As noted in other treatments, I'd looked for many years to find the right set of Bible study tools, and those Bible lessons by Robert C. Putnam, by the way, his doctorate was in chemistry, which is a wonderful discipline for Christian Science, because that's what a good chemist is looking for, and that is how do these chemicals react with each other. Well, that's basically what the system of divine metaphysics is. How do the seven synonymous terms network with each other and react with each other and combine and support each other? For example, the substance of spirit supports soul, which is sense, because that means that it is now spiritual sense. And the intelligence of mind interplays with all of them. For example, we want to have intelligent love. We want to have an intelligent life. We want to have the correct understanding of truth, which comes from intelligence and principle. We want to know how we can make this be in balance and harmonious. And that is through the qualities of knowing and intelligence and wisdom, all of which are qualities of mind under the subcategory of omniscience. So, chemistry is basically what we're dealing with in Christian Science. How do the various parts work together? His training in chemistry gave him a tremendous discipline, and so his book on the Bible lessons, 10 Bible lessons, which cover 8 of them are for the Old Testament and cover all the key characters in the Old Testament. The 9th one is on Christ Jesus, and the 10th one is on the second coming of the Christ. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy had a big part to play in that, because she delivered us the science of Christian Science, the science of divine metaphysics, and that is the second coming of the Christ. And if you haven't studied the works of Dr. Robert C. Putnam it was very interesting that he revealed that Revelation was really the work of Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus came back in the flesh to dictate to John on the island of Patmos. And he documents how that is all explained in the Bible. So his one book on the entire Bible is basically a series of 10 summaries of the key things, and then there are just a large number of references to the books of the Bible, which he recommends reading and studying, giving particular ones for particular topics and so forth, which support his summaries. A beautiful study that will enlighten one tremendously on the Bible. Well, that's a summary of the strategy and the tactics on treatment, and that includes the seven synonymous terms and the system of the operators of the word Christ, Christianity. And science I didn't explain, but science is two different levels. If one looks on in the textbook, page 115, the lowest level is depravity, which is coupled with Christian Science, because in healing, that's where we start. We start with the evil to uncover it, and then we work up to seeing the divine, which is the absolute, which is God and God's highest idea, which is man, of which God did give dominion over all existence, if we abide by the laws of God, if we live the life like Jesus did, with the Christ consciousness, totally pure, impersonal. And of course, that was captured by the seventh synonymous term, which is love. Jesus, more than anyone else, represented love of all the ones in the, that are recorded in the Bible. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy, who came along 2,000 years later, certainly was a very fine example of love. She was attacked by everyone about everything, and yet she loved continuously. Loved to the point that they called her mother. The key point to remember is that God is all in all. All means all source and all manifestation. And because of God being all in all source and all manifestation, there can be nothing but God. Just like Frederick L. Rawson proved with his experience about the man that had the load of rocks dumped on him. There is nothing but God. Amen.